Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 24. Isaiah, chapter 24. We'll read verses 10 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 24, verses 10 through 15. Isaiah 24, verses 10 through 15. And again, we'll read these verses responsively. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone, and the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. And let's pray. Father, thank you for being here in our church. Lord, not in the building, but in your people. Lord, some will go make a token expression in a building somewhere and call it church, but you won't be there today. We're glad that you're here in our church, in this place. You've blessed our man of God, and you've blessed us because of it. The Holy Spirit, please work on our hearts, our minds. May we concentrate on the preaching of the Word of God so that it'll change our hearts, our lives, and our minds, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll read to you again the verse from which we will launch the sermon today. In Isaiah chapter 24, verse number 15, it says, "Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea." I'm going to ask that we all settle ourselves and give our attention to the sermon. Though maybe not to you, someone today is in desperate need of the truth that I will preach. Someone is just hanging on by a thread. Someone got up this morning barely able to move, both emotionally and spiritually, and they brought themselves to church just hoping to get something special from God. God will provide that. I would hate to think you or I in our behavior would hinder them from getting what they came to get. The preacher's job is a difficult one. I'm to preach the truth, and I am to help people. But boy, I'll tell you, sometimes that keeping the attention of a massive crowd like this with so many spiritual levels of maturity, it becomes somewhat difficult. Let's all pull together this morning. Let's, if not concerned about ourselves, let's find ourselves concerned about that one that so desperately needs the truth. And you give your attention, and I'm going to guess, not only will we help that one, you're going to find yourself helped as well. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires. In the Bible, fire is referred to in many different ways. Revelation 8:7 mentions judgment fire. Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 5 mentions a protecting fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 mentions a revealing fire. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 through verse 35 mentions the fires of passion. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 compares a wicked tongue to a tongue of fire. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14 mentions that preaching can be preaching of fire. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 talks how the word of God is like a fire. We find in Revelation 1:14 a mention of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, and it says his eyes were eyes of fire. Matthew 25:41 tells us of that place called the lake of fire. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us there are times when we will go through persecution, and those persecutions are compared to fire. Today, we don't use those references. Look right at me. Today we see the fires of life as the hard trials of life. When we talk about we're going through the fire, what are we talking about? The hard trial of life. Today we see the fires of life as the deep difficulties of life. Today we're going to see the fires of life as the heavy burdens of life. Today we're going to glance at this thought of the fires of life, and that's the heartaches and the headaches of life. Today, as we mention the fires of life, we're talking about the persecutions or the valleys that we face in this life. As we look at the fires of life today, we're referring to the attacks in life, the attacks of Satan and the attacks of evildoers. Today, we'll see the fires of life as those severe challenges of life. Now, folks, everybody goes through tough times. Everybody goes through some fires. All ages go through the fires of difficulty in life. Isaiah chapter 24, verse number 15, it tells us in that verse, "Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires." Our behavior in the fire should bring honor to God. I must ask you, are you in the fires of life? And if so, are you glorifying Him in the fire? The title of my sermon today is that, In the Fire. In the fire. It does not merely say here that we are to survive the fire, but we are to glorify God in the fire. You say, well, I survived it, but did you glorify Him in it? Now, there is a certain glorification that you made it through it, but did you glorify Him in the fire? Glorify means to lift Him up in the fire. Yes. Glorify Him means to lift Him up to Him. You know, there are some people go through a fire and they almost turn on God. You're to glorify God to God in the fire. We're to glorify Him to ourselves in the fire. That would do some of you good. You need to say to yourself, my God's a good God and I'm going through a fire, but I'm not turning my back on my God while I go through my fire. There's sometimes I've got to glorify God to me in the fire. And I want to glorify God to God in the fire. I want to lift Him up and glorify Him so others see His glory in my fire. I want to lift Him up so those that are Maybe there's somebody that's in the fire too. I'd like to glorify Him while I'm in the fire to the others that are in the fire. Then I'd like to glorify Him to others that are not in the fire while I'm in the fire. I think we ought to lift Him up and glorify Him in the fire to the lost and glorify Him and lift Him up to the others saved. Today I come to you with some experience. You're not listening to a novice in regard to the burdens of life. You're not listening to a Johnny come lately. You're listening to a man, though by the grace of God I have made it through the fires. You're listening to a man that understands what it is to be in the fire. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to need to read something that's been compiled. But listen, please, listen to this story. I think it's worth our attention today. The little country schoolhouse was heated by an old-fashioned pot-bellied coal stove. An 8-year-old boy named Glenn had the job of coming to school early each day so that he could use kerosene to start the fire and warm the room before his teacher and classmates arrived. One cold morning, someone mistakenly filled the kerosene container he used with gasoline, and disaster struck. The class and teacher arrived to find the schoolhouse engulfed in flames. Terrified on realizing that little Glenn was inside, they rushed in and managed to drag the unconscious little boy out of the flaming building, more dead than alive. He had major burns over the lower half of his body and was taken to a nearby county hospital. From his bed, the dreadfully burned, semi-conscious little boy faintly heard the doctor talking to his mother. The doctor told his mother that her son would surely die, which was for the best, really. for the terrible fire had devastated the lower half of his body. But the brave little boy didn't want to die. Glenn made up his mind that he would survive. And somehow, to the amazement of the physician, the little boy did survive. Yet, when the mortal danger was past, he again heard the doctor and his mother speaking quietly. The mother was told that since the fire had destroyed so much flesh in the lower part of her boy's body, it would almost be better if he had died, since he was doomed to be a lifetime cripple with no use at all of his lower limbs. His mother refused to let the doctors amputate. Once more, this brave little boy made up his mind. He would not be a cripple. He would walk. But unfortunately, from the waist down, Glenn had no motor ability. His thin, scarred legs just dangled there, all but lifeless. Ultimately, Glenn was released from the hospital. Every day after, his mother and father would massage his little legs, but there was no feeling, no control, nothing. Yet his determination that he would walk was stronger than ever. When he wasn't in bed, he was confined to a wheelchair. One sunny day, his mother wheeled him out into the yard to get some fresh air. This day, instead of sitting there, he threw himself from the chair. Glenn pulled himself across the grass, dragging his legs behind him. He worked his way to the white picket fence bordering their home. With great effort, he raised himself up on the fence. Then, stake by stake, he began dragging himself along the fence, resolved that he would walk. He started to do this every day. He would throw himself from his wheelchair, drag his body by grabbing grass to the fence, lift his body. Stake by stake, he would drag his body along that fence. Eventually, his iron persistence and resolute determination, he did develop the ability to stand and then to walk with help, and then to walk by himself, and then miraculously to run. Glenn began to run to school. He ran for the sheer joy of being able to run. He ran everywhere that he could. The people in his town would often see him run by on his way to who knows where, but always with a smile. Later in college, Glenn made the track team, where his tremendous determination paid off in influence on himself and others. He eventually received the nickname, the Kansas Flyer. In February of 1934, in New York City's famed Madison Square Garden, this young man, who is not expected to live, who would surely never walk, who could never hope to run, this determined young man now, Dr. Glenn Cunningham, ran the mile in 4 minutes and 8 seconds, the world's fastest indoor mile. Later that same year, in a prestigious outdoor track meet, he shaved another second off of his record to run the world's fastest mile at that time. Someone who came through the fire and didn't let the fire of life stop them. Oh my. Could not you and I use a dose of the spiritual medicine that he gives to us in a physical illustration? You say, I feel like I'm going to die. Determined not to die. You say, I don't know if I can make it. Determined that you're going to make it. Drag yourself across the grass of life and find the picket fence of God. Pull yourself up and drag your dead emotional body along that fence until you get back on your feet and learn how to walk again for Jesus Christ. Oh my. But his physical determination give us an example spiritually. I call the sermon today, In the Fire. First of all, let me say to all of us in regard to being in the fire. See, to glorify him in the fires, one must have entered the fires. You say, that's obvious. I realize it's obvious, but we so easily miss the obvious. You see, to glorify Him in the fires, one must have entered into the fires. It says in Isaiah 24:15, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fire, in that fire. It seems apparent, but the apparent needs to be emphasized. There is a glorification that God desires, I think, then, that only can come and be achieved when you're in the fire. Do you want to glorify God? If you want to glorify God, you may have to get in the fire to do so. There's a glorification that God deserves that can only be achieved in the fire. Do you want to glorify God? You might have to get in the fire. There's a certain type of glorification that God gets in the fire. That means no fire, no glory. And God deserves glory. We must enter the fires of life if we will glorify our great God in this unique way of glorification. Folks, glorifying God is not just achieved by singing this song, glory, 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 somebody touch me. You say, I'm glorifying God. It was on a Monday, somebody touch me. We sing a glory, 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 somebody touch me. Now that's sweet. And it is true that God is glorified in the fact that somebody touched you. And I'm glad of that. But may I say to you, it might just be that you're going to have to go to the belly of the whale to glorify God. We all want to sing about the glory of God, and we all want to mention the word glory, thinking that because we mention the word glory in a testimony, that we have paid the price to glorify God. There may be a greater price to glorifying your God than singing a cute little chorus. Folks, listen, if you want to glorify Him, there is a certain type of a glorification for God that comes in the fire. And let's face it, you can't escape all the fires anyway. How are you going to act in the fire? Why not? Why don't we go ahead and decide, since we're going to go through a certain number of fires in life, why don't we go ahead and decide we'll glorify Him in the fire? You're going into the fire anyway. You say, I'll escape it. Well, He may stoke it up next week, because you're going in if He wants you to go in. Why not go ahead and decide, while in the fire, I will glorify Him in the fire? Hey, folks, if you see the fires of life approaching, why don't you determine that by God's grace, you will glorify Him when it hits you? You know, there are some of you, you're such good encouragers. Somebody else has gone through the fire of life, and you were there to say, you can make it, you can take it, you can do this. Praise God and keep on going. And you were such a good encourager. Now you're there. How are you going to act in the fire? I look around this auditorium and look at hundreds of people that would say to their pastor, Pastor, well, we're behind you. Hang in there. You're in the fire and you can take it, preacher. Well, I say to you, hang in there. You can take it. You can make it. You can do this. Hang in there, Christian. God's glory is more important than our comfort, by the way. I want to glorify God. Well, you may have to go in the fire. Well, then I don't think I want to glorify God. Well, we don't want to pay anything that would be sacrificial on behalf of God. God's glory is a part of God's will, which means the fire is a part of God's will for our lives. Let's make sure that we understand that you have to go in the fire if you're going to glorify God with the kind of glory that is produced from the fires of life. And He deserves glory. But not only that, I want you to see, secondly, to pass through the fire, you must have entered in the fire. You can't pass through something that you've not been in. Little boy, when mama can't find the penny that she gave the little boy, and she said, don't worry, it'll come out. So we wait. Then we find out he never swallowed the penny in the first place. It can't pass through if it's not going in. You can't pass through the fire unless you are in the fire. Listen to this. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Here it talks about walking through the fire. Yes. Folks, we first must enter the fire to the glory of God. Now we are going to enter, and if we enter, that gives us a chance to pass through the fire. Pass through means exit. You can't exit what you've not entered. We enter, while we're in, we glorify, then we get to exit. That's God's plan. Everybody's going to face it. Passing through signifies that the fire did not destroy us. That story that I told you earlier about a young man that was just a boy, predicted to die, predicted to be lame, predicted not to walk. He passed through the fire. And folks, you're going to have to decide that the fire is going to come. While you're in the fire, you will glorify him in the fire. And since you're in the fire, if you'll glorify him, you have the chance to pass through the fire. You get to go in, you get to come out. Watch how you behave in between the two. As a child of God, if we behave in the fire as he instructs, we're non-combustible. You say, I think I'm going to get burned up. You just behave the way God tells you to behave and you won't burn up in the fire.
Yes, sir.
Your obedience to the scripture will make you non-combustible in the trials of life. Now, if Jeff Owens gets to doing what Jeff Owens wants to do in the fire, that'll destroy me. I'll find my spirit on fire unto my destruction. But if I will do what God told me to do, if I'll have the attitude God told me to have, if I'll hang in there and keep serving God and be faithful to God in the fire, I'm going to get through the fire. He said, thou passest through the waters when thou walkest through the fire. As a child of God, if we behave in the fire as he instructs, we have fireproof clothing for our protection. I do want you to notice, though, in this passage of scripture that mentions the passing through the fire, that it says here, it says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Walkest through the fire. Doesn't look like you may always get to run through the fire. Race through the fire. You ever seen those people that walk on those hot coals? You ever seen that thing where, you know, they get all these hot coals and there's about 6 or 8 foot of it. And somebody says, you know, take their shoes and socks off and they walk across. I always thought, you know, I might dare try one time to race through the fire. Jump over part of it. But you ever see, there's some people walk through it. I want to tell you all something. There's some of you, you say, I'm going to trust God as long as he lets me race through the fire. There's sometimes you're not going to race through the fire.
Right.
You're going to walk through it. That's what the scripture says here. When thou walkest through the fire. Say, Brother Owens, I like my burden to come and go. I want this heartache to come and go. I don't mind having a rough day. I don't mind having a rough week. But wonder if it lasts a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Wonder if it is a fire that tends to last a little longer than you planned. God said, when you walk through the fire, I can help you to exit that fire if you'll just do what I tell you. Folks, you can walk and pass through the fire just like Job did. You look at the story of Job in the Bible. Job faced the fire. Job faced heartache. And it came. It didn't all come and go in a matter of a week. Now, folks, I think there are some things that God allows in our life, and it's not a quick fire. We can't get through it real quick, but we can get through it. I think there are times when we bring fires upon ourselves. I think we disobey. We do things we should not do. And we put ourselves in the fire. And sometimes your reaping is not always as quick as your sowing. It's an amazing saying. When you sow, sometimes the harvest is a little bigger than what you expected to reap. But I'm telling you something. You may have to walk through a harvest. It may not end overnight. You might not be able to run through it real quick. But God is still God. And God can still see you through the fire. To pass through the fire, you had to enter into the fire. You can pass through it just like Job did. You can pass through it and just like you have before. There's some of you, and everybody look right at me. I need everybody to sit still now and look right at me. There's enough of you that have been through the fire before that you could look back and say, you know something, I passed through the fire before, and my God is the same God that helped me the last time. I can pass through the fire again. My wife teaches a lesson to ladies. And in that lesson, she's entitled it, Looking Forward to Looking Backward. Looking forward to looking back. She said, when I'm in the fire, one of the things that helps me to survive the hardship is I know that I am going to make it through this. And there's coming a day out in the future where I will look back on this heartache and I will thank God and I will realize God sustained me. And in the middle of the fire, I picture myself being on the other side of the fire, looking back on the fire of the past and how God helped me to survive it. God help me to be successful in it. Some of you right now, you need to look forward to going through so you can look back on yesterday's devastation. Look, folks, we're all going to go through the fire. We will get to the other side of it if you'll just be faithful. I'll tell you, those of you that are not faithful through the fire, those of you that quit on God, that all you're doing is making more fire for yourself. That's all you're doing. Staying up close to God and faithful to God and committed to God, that'll get you through the fire quicker. Some of you are going to make your tunnel of fire far longer by just giving up on God. You can pass through the fire just like you have before. You can pass through the fire just like Job did. Remember, we must enter in to pass through. Jesus entered into the fires. He entered into the fire of a crucifixion. He entered into a fire of death. But wait a minute, he passed through with a victorious resurrection. And so, this idea of in the fire, to glorify him in the fire, one must have entered the fire. Then, to pass through that fire, we had to have entered in. When I'm in the fire, I should glorify God in the fire. Then, if I will glorify God like I should in the fire, I will pass through the fire to where I can look back at the fire and say, I made it. Boy, I like giving those testimonies about how I made it through the fire. Whew, nothing like that. Number one, it's good to be able to say we made it. Number two, it's good just to be able to not be in there and say, oh, I'm glad to be out of there. I'm glad that's over with. Now, number three, realize it's not abnormal for God's people to have fiery trials. It's not abnormal for God's people to have fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Huh. The fires are not abnormal. The fires are a normal part of the Christian life. Twice in this one verse, he says, don't you look at fiery trials as strange. You see, we can develop an attitude that because we're going through a fiery trial, isn't that strange? Isn't that odd that this has come upon me? Isn't this just kind of weird? Well, wait a minute. Why should you think a fiery trial coming to you should be strange? It's what the scripture says. You're not the first to face a fiery trial. You think you're the very first one to ever face what you're facing? You're not the first to face it, and you won't be the last to face it. There's somebody else that is facing identically what you're facing. And they made it through the trial, and they glorified God in the trial, and they can stand and testify today, say, God brought me through. So be careful to get to feeling too sorry for yourself. Everybody goes through trials. You say, but Brother Owens, I'm right now we're potty training and you won't believe what we're going through. All of us have been through the potty training war zone. Just the other day, I said to a child that we were helping to attend to, where have you been? He said, I had potty. I said, but you weren't in the bathroom. He went. And I thought, why has this fiery trial come upon me? And everybody in here would say, been there, done that. Well, let me tell you something. You as a Christian, your Heavenly Father looks down and there's something that's come upon you. If you're not careful, you're going to think, it only happened to me. Look what I'm going through. Look how bad it is for me. Well, wait a minute. Since when are you the only person that's facing a fiery trial? And God said, think it not strange. Think it not strange. We need to have a right attitude toward the fire and in the fire. Hey, Noah faced the fiery trials of a worldwide flood. Elijah faced the fires of a political attack of government leaders, and Moses faced the fire of leading the masses, and Paul faced the fire of a liberal religious system, and John faced the fire to the point that he was boiled in oil and banned to the Isle of Patmos where nobody would have anything to do with him. You see, realize it's not abnormal for God's people to have fiery trials.
Right.
Not abnormal at all. John faced those fires and Paul and Elijah and Moses and Noah. And thank God they faced those trials. They came through the trials. You'll see their testimony on the other side of the trial. They had to enter in, and while they were in, they glorified God because they wanted to come through. And they didn't think it that strange that they were facing a difficulty. 1 Peter 4:12 says, think it not strange. Do you sit around thinking that your burden, your heartache, it's unfair and unreasonable and there's never been anything like this? God said, think it not strange. We can get pretty self-centered.
Yes, sir.
Boy, we can lick our wounds. Seems like you've been asked to bear something unlike anyone has ever faced ever before. That's not true. That's not true. Many someones have faced the very same fiery trial that you're facing, and many someones have faced even worse, far worse. Hey, are you a new Christian? Are you a new Christian and you thought that now that I'm saved, I even walked the aisle, I even got baptized, oh, my problems are over. Dumb. No, I'm sorry, they're not. They're not. If some television evangelist told you that if you get saved and get baptized, all your problems will go away, that television evangelist is one of your problems.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Jesus was perfect and he had his fiery trials.
Yes.
The best Christians in the Bible, they had their fiery trials. Don't let the devil convince you that this burden upon you, it is strange. It is not strange. We all face trials. We all face burdens. Is that fiery trial that you face not the one that you expected? We almost say, well, I'll tell you what. When I face financial reversal, I'm going to suck it up and take it. But financial reversal is not the trial you're facing. It's something totally different that you did not expect, and it's caught you so far off guard. You're acting like an emotional basket case because it's not the trial that you ordered through the mail. You went on the internet and went to trials and you ordered it and it came. He said, this is not what I expected. But God knows what God's doing.
Yes.
Think it not strange. Has it, you say, I expected that I would face a burden. I expected that I would face a trial. I expected I would face the fires of life. I did not expect it this week. Say, timing is strange. Think it not strange, God said. He said, oh, wait a minute. I just made it through the last one. I closed out Friday and said, finished with fiery trial. Went to the mailbox Saturday morning and opened up a package that said fiery trial number two. You ought to pastor a New Testament church. I say, tomorrow will be a day of peace. What a stupid thing for me to say. Why? As long as I'm dealing with people. That's all there is to it. It's like, hey, it's like sickness. You all know what it's like. Those of you that have four or five children in your home, about the time one of them is well, the next one catches what the last one had. And there's some of you right now, you're saying, I just finished a fiery trial and went, honey, let's go celebrate. And on the way to go celebrate, you have a flat tire. This is complex. But God's not dead, and God knows about your fiery trial, and God knows you had one last week, and somehow you got another one this week. See, that seems strange to me. Well, don't go weirding out on us. Anybody else in here ever face a series of fiery trials where they come week after week after week?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you did? So I guess yours isn't strange and yours isn't weird and yours isn't, oh, there's something real bad wrong here. No, you're just like all the rest of us.
Right.
Think it not strange. This thing of a fiery trial. One must enter the fires to glorify Him in the fire. One must pass through. Then while we're there, God said, think it not abnormal that you have a fiery trial. And don't think that the one you got is, if that's weird, or when it came, that's weird, or how it came, that's weird. Oh no, all the trials out there, they may all fit into category weird. I don't know if any of us get one and say, oh, I like this one right there. I got the fiery trial that's in the good batch. Wouldn't be fiery if it was in the good batch. Let me say that behavior in the fire helps God to determine who He will use. Behavior in the fire helps God to determine who He will use. Isaiah chapter 48 verse number 10 says this. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I chose you when you were under fire.
Yes, sir.
Didn't choose you because of the good day and how you took it. Say, well, I tell you what, God's probably looking down here and I got all the money I need and I've got all the help I need and everything's going really well for me. God's probably looking down here saying, Jeff Owens, I need you. Everything's going well. Now, God looks down when everything's going bad and you're still in there plugging and you're still in there dragging yourself through the grass to pick yourself up on the picket fence to drag from post to post to say, I will keep on going if all of hell comes against me. God looks down and says, right there's the kind of character I'm looking for, right there. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for fair weather Christians that can make it through the easy part of life and say, look at me, God, I'm the poster child. Not at all. We enter the fire. We glorify Him in the fire. He will help us pass through the fire. We better guard our attitude about the fire so we don't think it's strange. And God watches all this take place. And based on our behavior and attitude in the fire, He determines if you're worthy of greater use by Him. See, your behavior in the fire is on your spiritual resume. And God's got your resume in His file. Your time in the fire is building your reputation with God, or it might be destroying it. Folks, we're not revealed so much by good times. The real you is revealed in the rough times. You find out what a country's made in the rough times, not the good times. Your time in the fire is proving you to God. Hey, your time in the fire is proving you to you. Can I recommend something to all of us? When we're in the fire, let's take a good long look at ourselves and say, boy, I got some work to do on me. Look at me. Look at how I'm acting. Look at how I behaved. And look at my lack of faith. And look at my lack of commitment. And look at my lack. Your time in the fire will prove you to you and you to others and you to God. Folks, From all indications, it says, behold, I have refined thee. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle leadership. Your ability to handle affliction proves your ability to handle power and people and influence and pressure and success. Name one greatly used person in the Bible that did not fight, that did not face great fire. Name one. You say, I really want to glorify God. Well, if there is a glorification that comes from in the fire, the greater the fire, the greater the possibility of glorification. God said, I came along and I looked at you in the fire, and your behavior in the fire determined whether I could trust you on the other side of the fire to be used in a great way. The fire wasn't there to destroy you. The fire was there to reveal you and make you so he could use you on the other side. Your fire is a preparation and a proving. David faced the fire of a Goliath and proved that he qualified to be king. You see, behavior in the fire helps God to determine who he will use after they go through the fire. You know, Moses faced the fire of living in obscurity on the backside of the desert, and he proved out. And he proved that he could lead millions of people in a wilderness for years and years and years. But he had to go through the fire to achieve it. You young men, and thank God for the boys that go to our Bible college and the boys that feel like God's placed his hand upon their life to be missionaries and pastors. Let me tell you all something. See, I want to be used of God, so I'm going to get A's in all my classes. I'm glad for that, and I want you to get A's in all your classes, but you better get an A in your ability to go through the fire. You can know everything there is from the book learning from college, and if you don't have enough backbone to make it through the fire, you'll be on a shelf and unusable by God. I've watched country boys with no college education that had some tenacity inside them go out and pastor churches with no education at all from a Bible college, and they could stand the torture test and they could make it through. I've known others with the best grades ever in Bible college. They had it all, but they didn't have no backbone. They had no grit. They had no determination. And they went out with an excellent IQ in spiritual things, but they did not have spiritual character and tenacity, and they did not make it. Moses faced the fire, and he proved out, and God was able to use him. You see, this verse says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires. I've got to go in the fire if I'm going to glorify him. While in the fire, I'd like to pass through. I need to, glorifying him in the fire will help me to pass through. I can get through the other side. I better not look at my fiery trial as abnormal, like I'm the only one in the church going through it. Oh, I've got it so bad. Oh, this is just so terrible. And we've got to realize everybody goes through it. There's somebody else sitting in a pew just not too far from you that's been through what you've been through. They took it, they made it, and they're fine, and you can do it too. Behavior in the fire helps God to determine how much he can use you when you get on the other side. If you decide to get on the other side. Let me say number five, you must be in the fire for the sake of purification. We go into the fire. You say, what for? The sake of purification. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Here, it says that silver's value is increased by a furnace of fire. It then says the same thing. God put the word of God through a purification process. And God said his words are pure. Why? They have been purified seven times. How did they get that purification? There was some sort of a fiery furnace process that God allowed it to go through. Hey, the value of a man's service to God is increased in the fire. Job said this. In Job 23:10, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, from where does gold come forth when there's purification taking place? Gold comes forth from the refiner's fire. That's what Job is saying. Job said, me, just like a piece of gold ore. When the gold ore is put into the furnace, it comes forth purified. And when I go through the fire of life, I want to come forth and I want to be seen as pure gold. Come forth from the furnace of affliction. Come forth from the fiery trial of life. What happens? We're to be purified in the fire. You notice those words in Job 23:10. We're going to come forth. That means pass through. We're going to come out of it. God's word is perfect. And he said it was accomplished by a process of purification that has something to do with fire. Now, God's not trying to do something to you, but God's trying to do something for you. Now, that goes back to your attitude. If you would look at the trial that you face, if you believe that your God loves you, and if you believe that God has a plan for your life, the trial that you are facing is not there to destroy you. It is there to make you. And it's time for some of you to stop letting the devil influence you, saying, oh, God's just trying to destroy me. They're just everybody trying to destroy me. No, God is trying to make you. And being made is not always pleasant. He's not doing something to you, but God is doing something for you. He says in Isaiah 48:10, I have refined thee in the furnace of affliction. Folks, Joseph was refined in Potiphar's prison so he could become a national leader and save his entire family and country. And he had to get the refining, though, from the fire of life. Hey, let me ask you a question. What impurity is God attempting to burn out of your life? What impurity is God trying to burn out of your life in the fire? You know, it'd be a sad thing for you to get on the other side of the fire and not have allowed God to purify you in the fire and him to say, you know what, we're going to have to go through that one again. The other day I was talking to a man that went to the dentist. I do not know in a million years how this would happen. He went into the dentist and the dentist had said, we need to pull a tooth. He went in, he got the tooth pulled. He came out, went home 2 days later. He said, it was still aching so bad. I went back in and they said, get that. We pulled the wrong tooth when we were in there.
I hate it when that happens.
You know, there are some of you, if you are not careful, you'll go through the fire. And you won't get accomplished what was supposed to have been accomplished in the fire. And you're going to have to turn around and go back to the dentist Jesus. And you're going to have to go through the fire again to have the nasty impurity pulled out of your spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
Fix it while you're in the fire. Let the fire purify you. The fire wasn't intended to make you mad. The fire wasn't intended to make you attack people. The fire wasn't intended for that. It was intended to purify you. You're supposed to go in, glorify God, go out, be usable, go do something for God. You're more usable now. The purpose of that fire. I found a cute thing here. A mom is driving her second grade daughter and two of her friends to school one day when a fire truck zoomed past. Sitting in the front seat of the fire truck was a Dalmatian dog. The children started talking about what the dog's duties were. One little girl said, they use him to keep the crowds back. No, no, said another. He's just there for good looks. No, the daughter said, no. The dog helps them to find the fire hydrants. I'm not sure. Folks, we're all going to face the fires. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. Glorify God in the fires. We can pass through the fire. Listen, the next point is this. Be willing, but not wanting to be in the fire. Be willing, but not wanting to be in the fire. The Bible says in Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Here's a story. Three young men. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. This king said to everybody in the kingdom, at a certain time, you're to fall down and worship me. These three boys said, we are not going to fall down and worship you. And these boys, they gave the answer and they said, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, they're saying this, they're saying to the king, King, we're not full of care about how we're going to answer you. We have thought through being put into that fiery furnace. We're willing to do it if we must. Notice they did not say, well, just open the door and we'll jump in. No, the three young men said, look, we don't necessarily want to be put in the furnace, but if we have to go in, we'll go. I don't think any of us ought to say, come on, God, bring in fire. Look, if you're like that, you can have my share. I don't want any more than I have to have, but I want however much God needs me to have. Because He knows best for me. They were not asking to be put in the fire, but they had decided if they must go in, they were willing to go in for God's sake. And in this story, they faced the fire for taking a stand for God. They were even willing to die in the fire. Because their answer was, well, if you throw us in the fire, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, that was their answer to the king. So they were willing to die in the fire for God. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. What about passing through the fire? Look, folks, if they died in the fire, what better place to pass through to than heaven? Matter of fact, you get shortchanged when you pass through the fire and you're left here. That's from one fire kind of into another. When you go through the fire and it ends in death, you end up on the other side in glory. And you talk about a wonderful comparison from the fire to heaven. Now, but we get that privilege of passing through. Look, if you live for the devil, you'll face the fires of life without the benefit of Christ's help. All face the fires. With Jesus or with the devil, you're going to face fires. Let's go through it with Him. I think we ought to be willing, but not wanting a fire. I think there are some benefits to going through the fire. We've seen some of them today. And again, I say to the young Christian that's a zealot that says, I'll tell you what, if I got to have fire to do something great for God, bring it on. I think you would be wise in just letting God bring it on when it's time to bring it on. I recommend that we don't try to bring on fire. I recommend that life will bring you enough fires on its own. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't ask for it, but they said, when it comes, we will not run from it. We will not hide from it. We will not retract from God. We'll not retract from the church. We'll not retract from the things of God. We're staying. Yes. And that's exactly what's happening here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we don't really want to go through it, but if we need to, we will. Here, to me, is the greatest point, and I'm finished. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see that Jesus is in the fire. He's in there. Daniel 3:25, they threw these boys into the fire, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Brother Dula and I were talking the other day. He said, preacher, he said, how did these people on the outside of the fire know that that fourth one was like unto the Son of God? We talked for a little while. We came to the conclusion it might be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had testified so much about what Jesus was like when the lost people looked in and said, look, that's just like the one that they were testifying of that's in there. Because they didn't know who the Son of God was. Somehow they had become accustomed or acquainted with the possibility of what this Son of God may be like. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are actually thrown in the fire, for which they did not request, but they said, we will go through if we need to go through. And once they got in there, they find that Jesus is there. It was the Son of God. You see, this is called by theologians as an Old Testament appearance of Christ. A Christophany is what they would call it. But what is it? Jesus showed up. You know something? Jesus is right there with you in the fire.
Yes, sir.
So you all know, when you're in the fire, Jesus is right with you in the fire. And He is waiting and wanting you to glorify Him while you're in the fire.
Yes, sir.
He also sees when you're hateful, vengeful, and bitter, and nasty. And He sees that when you're in the fire. You say, why is Jesus there? He's there to strengthen you in the fire. He's there to calm you down in the fire. I noticed this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's some of you, if you really love Jesus, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say to you. I mean, you really love Jesus. Listen, in this story, I want you to notice that Jesus did not show himself before the furnace. He did not show himself before the furnace. He did not show himself after the furnace. The only place they got an up close glimpse was in the fire.
Yes, sir.
There's some of you. Remember back when you were spiritual? Oh, God, I want to be close to you. Remember those times of prayer and reading your Bible and when you're dedicated and sold out? Oh, God, I want to be close to you. Show yourself to me. God said, well, okay. In the furnace. You got in there? What are you doing? What? Thought you wanted to see me. I show up when you need me most. Not willing to pay the price as long as we can be lovey-dovey Christianity for a little while and everything's smooth and copacetic and you feel like you're going to get a real up-close glimpse of the God of the universe. I've got news for you. There's a price to pay if you want to be close to God. You may see Him best and you may only see Him in the fire.
Yes, sir.
You want a good look at Jesus? Maybe you need to stop flailing and throwing yourself all over the place and acting like an immature Christian while you're in the fire. Stop and look around. Because standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find Him. Watching every move you make in the fire. Remembering back to when you were passionate about getting to know Him, and now He uses one of the techniques that purifies your Christianity, where you can earn the right to see the God of the universe up close through a burden and a fiery trial. Now you're rejecting exactly what you used to beg for. Are you in the fire and due to your rage and self-pity, you're not seeing Jesus? Are you blinded by the furnace that should have lighten the way? Hey, I'm finished. I wish I could talk all afternoon. Let me tell you about salvation if I could. Has a fire in life brought you to our church? Are you here today? You say, I'm going through a lot in life and I knew I needed something and I came to this church. I think it is very possible, but that the fires of life could bring someone to Jesus Christ. You know, if you went through terrible, terrible trial and heartache out of the church and away from salvation, if you went through terrible heartache, but it brought you to the Savior, the fire would all be worthwhile.
Yes, sir.
It'll keep you out of the devil's fire and a fiery eternity by getting saved. The verse, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires. I hope that somehow, those of you that are going through the fire, you'll grab hold of the truth of the morning and let it mature you, steady you, push the reset button in your thinking. If there's a bit of panic, let the sermon steady you. Say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's right. I know this. Let me steady myself. Lord, help me now. Now I'll go on through this fire the right way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to the Savior. If you're not saved, why don't you get born again? Why don't you get born again today? Is there anybody that would hear would say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. Please pray for me. I need to be born again. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand quickly and say, that's me. I see that hand. Just say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm going through some rough things in life, and I do see. I want to come to Jesus. I want Him to see me through these fires, and I definitely want Him as my Savior. Who else would raise your hand and say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. Those of you that have already raised your hand, and those of you that should have but did not, we're going to have an altar call. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform. They'll step down front on the lower level at the end of each aisle. They'll post themselves. If you're not saved, whether you're in the balcony or you're on the lower floor, you leave your seat. You walk toward these men. You walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. And very capably, spiritually trained people will take a Bible and show you how to be born again. They'll show you how to be saved. You can leave this place on your way to heaven. Next question. Is there a Christian under the sound of my voice that would say, Brother Owens, I'm in the fire. I need to push the reset button about my behavior in the fire. I need to see this fiery trial the way God would have me to see it. God helping me. I'll let the sermon help me today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. There are hands all over the place. Whether in the balcony or the lower floor, if you need the altar for a moment, you come and you come down here and say, God, help me. I'm in the fire. I need help through the fire. Some of you need to pray for somebody you feel like might be in the fire. Some of you have developed a bitterness, a nasty attitude. You're so far away from God, you didn't even get anything that was said today. Because the fire has just driven you to anger and rage and temper and who knows what else. That's not what God intended in the fire. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you have a burden. You need to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's